to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. May you enjoy the work before you today. Everything that God has called you to do, and in the Spirit, just enjoy what you're doing, approaching it as if God is the only one you're working for. Even if you've got to rake the yard or you've got to prune some of the plants, I've got to go out and do that. And you can enjoy this time. Oh, and I pray that as you are driving down the street, across the town, wherever you are, that don't be so intent on your destination. Enjoy the trip, because I'll tell you what, the blossoms are out and brilliant, and God's beauty is just showing everywhere in the apple trees and the cherry trees. I know I've got several in my backyard that are blooming, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. I'm enjoying every moment that I step out on the patio and check them out, and then the cherry tree out in the front yard is just blooming. I hope you take some time today. I hope you can enjoy the work that God has done for you to enjoy this life. I really do. Oh, don't neglect it, my friend. Because it may not last. And in fact, the apple blossoms just kind of disappear. It was a record breaker in Denver. It was 86 degrees on Saturday. And then this morning, it was 25. So it snowed a little bit last night. So we've got an up and down spring, kind of like the stock market, isn't it? Yeah. We know it's going to be summer here pretty soon. It's going to be summer, Rachel, pretty soon. She's all happy about the hot days coming up. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. Yes, I do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. Oh, you are so blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. I have several power partners that when they say that verse on their checks and money orders, they say, I am so blessed to dispense, because our giving into the kingdom of God just really helps the kingdom of God to be spread all over the world. So God bless those who are doing the spreading. That's like, you know, I hate to bring this up, but you know, in the spring of the year, my dad, he really spread the manure out in the fields so everything could grow. And so we're just spreading the gospel. I'm sorry I brought that up. Oh, praise the Lord. Our memory verse for this week is from the book of Acts. This is a verse that just has been staying in my mind and my heart. And I'm going to read from 10 to 12, but it's verse 12 that I want you really to focus on this week. That's Acts 4, verse 10 through 12. And we're reading through Acts in our Word Power for every hour. So let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And here it is. There is salvation in no one else. Don't you have anybody tell you that there's salvation in somebody else or in some kind of theology or some kind of method. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Praise the Lord for Peter bringing that out in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Oh, I almost forgot. I do bring notes with me, especially on Mondays, because this morning, today, in a news conference that lasted most of the morning, It was just really great. When Joe Biden was president, I didn't listen to the news, but now I'm listening to the news all the time. President Trump welcomed the president of El Salvador, and they have known each other for years. In fact, President Trump said, "I knew you when you were a little boy." So they've known each other for years and are very good friends. And a question arose about the migrant whom they say was deported to El Salvador prison by mistake. Okay, he's in El Salvador illegally. So this was such a great interview because although the courts demand that the U.S. return this migrant, Kilmar Obrego Garcia, to the U.S., the El Salvador president said, and President Trump said, "What do you think?" And I can't pronounce his name. And here's the El Salvador president's answer. "Well, this man is a Salvadorian citizen. So you want us to smuggle him into the United States? We cannot do that." I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud. I really did. This was a brilliant maneuver by President Trump and the president of El Salvador. Yes, this Garcia is a citizen of El Salvador. So if El Salvador wants to imprison him because he has been a member of the M13, whatever that's called, raping and killing and being robbers, and it's just a horrible thing, then President of El Salvador has the authority to do that. So Garcia, you know, he is a Salvadorian citizen and has never become a U.S. citizen. So in essence, it would be illegal to deport him into the United States. And you know what? That was the end of that discussion. I love it because so many people, "Oh, he needs to come back to the United States." Well, he's a Salvadorian citizen. So, I mean, if the president of El Salvador says he stays here, then he stays there. That's such good. Oh, so good, such good politics. It really is. I'm just really blessed by what is happening. And I know that Holy Spirit is giving some great wisdom and advice and insight. See, your prayers are being answered, friend. When we ask the Lord to give President Trump and his administration, including Pam Bondi, oh, she's such a brilliant, brilliant attorney, all the wisdom that they need, he does. Holy Spirit is there. I hope you realize that. Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for your spirit in us. Oh, Father God, thank you. Well, Saturday at the meeting, we discussed the Passover and Jesus, who was the sacrifice lamb who took away the sin of the world. And it's the truth that a veil has been placed over Israel for a time to give the Gentiles the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior. We read several things that implied that Passover fully revealed that Jesus is the Messiah. And yet the Jewish people, for the most part, do not accept Jesus. And for instance, there was Passover. They're continuing their Passover celebration, and they are looking forward to a Messiah who has already died and been resurrected and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Well, I'm going to mention two items here that the people enjoy and take part of in the actual Passover, if you've been to a Passover. At Passover, the shank bone is a reminder of the Passover lamb, and it's a symbol of God's outstretched arm. I don't know if you realize that, but it's a symbol of God's outstretched arm, the shank bone, with which he delivered Israel from Egypt. And you can find that in Exodus 6, verse 6. And in Isaiah 53:1, this is so interesting because it brings out the shank bone. And it's God is saying to Isaiah, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm?" And the arm here in the Hebrew is shank bone. So we know that God's outstretched arm is part of that whole Passover thing. Who has revealed our message or our report, and to whom has the arm or shank bone of the Lord been revealed? And you can find that in Isaiah 53, the very first verse. Isaiah then goes on to describe the servant, Jesus, who would die for the sin of his people. And by his stripes, if you've had health issues, you have said that verse many, many times. Verse 5, "By his wounds I am healed." And like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter in Isaiah 53:7. as Roman soldiers, this was something new to me. I did not realize this. As Roman soldiers drove nails into Jesus' body, temple priests were slaughtering Bethlehem-born lambs in preparation of the Passover while chanting and singing Hallel, which is Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And here is a portion of Psalm 118, as if they didn't recognize Jesus. Oh, my goodness. David wrote this in Psalm 118. I'm going to just read the first verse and then 19 through 29. So interesting that God has really placed a veil over the Jewish people until the fulfillment or the full redemption of the Gentiles is revealed. So here's the first verse of Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And you hear that in several psalms that David writes. Then in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. There's only one righteous, Jesus Christ. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. And remember, Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Praise God. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me and you have become my salvation. Who is our salvation? In no one else? Well, in no one else but Jesus Christ, as Acts 4, verse 10 says. Here it is in Psalm 118, while the priests are singing this psalm, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. They're singing a song about a stone, a cornerstone that is built and that was rejected by them, and they still don't see. They still don't see with their eyes, the eyes of their heart. Verse 25 of Psalm 118 says, O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And who came in the name of the Lord God? It was Jesus. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Who was bound to the altar, to the cross, with cords, with nails? It was Jesus Christ. So good. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You can see from the reading part, from me reading the part of Psalm 118, that it was evident who David was writing about. It's Jesus. And the Jewish leaders had been told by Jesus himself that he is the cornerstone that the Jewish people rejected. What more can be said about this truth? It is the truth. The following, also, I want to bring out another item in Passover. The following is performed at Passover today, when they hide a piece of matzah wrapped in a cloth and hidden so the children can find it. If you've been to Passover, you've seen that at your table. What does this practice symbolize? Well, it symbolizes Jesus. It's so real. It's so evident. And why don't the Jewish people attending Passover see Jesus as the afikomen? A-F-I-K-O-M-E-N. Afikomen is a piece of matzah hidden during the ceremony. It was not a part of the original Passover described in the Old Testament. Afikomen is actually a Greek word meaning the coming one, and is a clear reference to the Messiah. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that as they wrap that piece of matzah in a cloth and hide it, this is symbolic of Jesus being broken in death. Oh, and of course, they break a piece of matzah and then they wrap it in a cloth. I missed that a very important part. Wrapped it in a cloth, hidden in burial, and then brought back by the power of God. Very evident in a Passover ceremony. And it's because the Jewish people have had a veil over their eyes. And I want to read just a little part of Romans 11:25 through 36 in the New American Standard. And Paul is saying here, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery or ignorant, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the salvation of the Gentiles is complete. And boy, it's there. It really is there. And then all Israel will be saved. Hallelujah. What a promise from God through Paul. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And in verse 27 of Romans 11, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Now see, God has a long memory. He really does. He remembers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who he renamed Israel. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be taken away. Okay, you got that. I got that. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of your disobedience, he's going to bring Israel back in the spotlight. So these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy and grace shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. I praise God for his mercy and his grace. His mercy is he took what should have been your punishment on himself. And that's mercy. That's his mercy. Paul, I love this last part of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. In him we live and move and have our being. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Oh, and I want to read just that same portion of scripture from the Message translation, Romans 11, verse 34 through 39. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Some people think they can. Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. He's the Omega, and he's the Alpha and Omega, the end. Oh, the forever and ever. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, such a beautiful verse of scripture in Romans 11. We have just a little time left before the end of the program today, and I want you to remember that the way of God is the way of love. He showed it through the sacrifice of his own son. And in fact, in Isaiah 53, as you read that chapter, maybe this week because of Good Friday and those things that are going on right now at this time of year, that it was pleasing to God. It pleased the Father to crush his son. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine the emotions that took place. And when I say the way of God is the way of love, it's not an original from me, but from Saint Francis of Assisi. He was a humble man who loved his way into the kingdom of God. And I see some of you loving your way into the kingdom of God. You're loving people in spite of what they do to you. You're loving yourself into that kingdom of God. You're immersing yourself in God's love. And God dealt with Francis as he does with us today. He meets each of us at the level we can experience and learn from him. You may not believe in God, but God believes in you. God sees you as he sees Jesus in you. Maybe in a potential way because you're not accepted him into your life. Nevertheless, he sees you as you will be in Jesus. He's always looking into the future, and he's seeing you as you will be. Praise the Lord. What we believe and or don't believe about God does not define him. God has already done what he's going to do through Jesus and his death and resurrection. When Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," he meant exactly that. There is no more to do. Romans 3:3-4 says, "And what then? If some do not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God." I don't care if you don't believe in God or in Jesus Christ. Your unbelief will not nullify or make null the faithfulness of God. May it never be, rather let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. God loves and his love does not change. Praise the Lord. I really like the message in Ephesians 2:7-10. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus, saving all of his ideas and all his work. All we do, you know what you do? All we do is trust him and believe in him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. And it's because of that cross that we're celebrating. Yes, we celebrate the cross, that he is giving us blessing after blessing in our lives, my dear friend. Here is At the Cross.
At the cross.
burdens of my heart just rolled away, just rolled away. I want you to know that freedom, my friend. The burdens that we carried, we aren't able to do all that. You know, the faith that God has given you is a positive response to what grace has already accomplished. It was accomplished on the cross. It's done. It's finished. So let's celebrate God's doing, what he's already done through Jesus, his son. This faith has been given to you. You don't have the ability to bring about the God kind of faith it takes for his power to be evident in you. You aren't the adequate resource to accomplish what you're praying for. So what is your task as a believer? It's exactly what the word says. Believe. You receive him and you believe what this Bible says. Believing in Jesus' finished work is what it's all about. I pray today that I have been saying to you, and what I've been saying to you will penetrate your innermost being, and you will take to heart and begin to memorize and speak the word with boldness. If you need some scripture to start to memorize, I recommend a power pack. And I can send you a power pack if you call me at 1-877-917-7256. Yep, I'll pay for everything. Power pack, packaging, stamp, and taking it to the post office. Just call me 1-877-917-7256. Leave your name and your address and zip code. God bless you with boldness and stand strong in these last days before Jesus returns. Remember, all our burdens are rolled away because he paid the penalty. He paid the price for our redemption. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.